Open us up with a word of prayer, please.
Father, we thank you for the chance to come together. And I would just make our hearts rich with joy and love for you as we treat the brethren and have a good time of fellowship for the services. And I would pray for Peter as well. Open his mouth and give us the words that our hearts can feel.
All right, if you would, stand with me and turn to page 26. We're going to sing, Come Thou Fountain. One of my favorite hymns.
Thank you.
those lyrics, that song hits home when you really pay attention to what you're singing to. Great singing, everybody, this morning. You may be seated.
Good to see everybody in church this morning. I like that. I like that song. And the reason I like it is verse number 4 on there. It says, "Days of darkness still come o'er me." I don't know about you, but I can testify to that verse right there. Days of darkness still come o'er me. Sorrow's paths I often tread. But the good thing is that Jesus Christ is still with me. By His hand, I'm safely led. I said during Sunday school, I can't imagine living this life without Jesus Christ. I can't imagine going through this life without Jesus, especially during the days where darkness comes over you. Like I said, I don't know about you, but there's days, it just seems like sometimes it just comes out of nowhere. You could be having a very good day, everything's going well, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's just this cloud of darkness over you. You don't even know where it come from.
Come on.
I'll tell you where it come from. It come from the devil, come from the enemy, and your flesh trying to get you down and not realizing what you have in the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, and our Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, I'll sing the wonder. See, that's what you're supposed to do in days of darkness. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Even when I don't feel it. Even when I don't feel it, I'll still sing the wondrous story of Jesus Christ, the one who died for me. Amen. Amen. Glad to be in church this morning. Just some announcements. Lord willing, I'll say this first. We'll probably be out of town, Melanie and Ellie and I, Thursday the 19th, this coming Thursday through the following Thursday. I want to try to get back home. One of the reasons I'm going to try to get back there is to see my dad. Just keep him in prayer. He's not doing very well. And so I feel like I need to go down there and see him. And so we're going to take off early Thursday morning. And we'll be back the following Thursday or Friday coming back. So I say that to say this, that we already have people lined up to preach and to teach and do all that. Brother Mark Reno will be here next Sunday with us. So keep him in prayer. Also, I won't be here Thursday, but those that are still interested in doing the public outreach, Brother Glenn and Brother Brian will be taking care of that. They got the sign, so we'll still be doing that as a church, but I won't be here. I encourage you to take part in it. It'll be 6 to 7. My apologies to those that got a little confused. That's my fault. But it'll be 6 to 7 this Thursday out there on Front and Pine Street. Lord willing, we're going to have a picnic Saturday, September 4th. Not quite sure if we're going to get the pavilion yet over there at the park like we've had last time. I'll find out tomorrow morning. But either way, we're going to have a picnic, even if we have to have it here. So, Lord willing, Saturday, September 4th, we're going to have a church picnic. I'll probably have the list tonight put over here, what you plan to bring, so that we just don't double up on things, and if you'd like to bring something for that. And then, Lord willing, August 31st, that Tuesday, we're going to start the Greek Bible studies. I appreciate those that signed up. Lord willing, we'll get started with those on August 30th, 1st, 6 to 7. Dinner will be provided. And I've come to a conclusion with that also. We're going to try to do that bi-weekly. So it won't be every week, to just try to give individuals a break, because that's a lot in one week. So we'll be doing those classes, those Bible studies bi-weekly. And I'll get a schedule out on that. But other than that, that's all I have. Let's worship God in this last song that we sing.
I'll just reread those verses. If I will sing the wondrous story. Verse 2 just gets me. It talks about, I was lost, but Jesus found me.
Yeah.
Boy, am I glad He found me.
Hey.
And it says, found the sheep that went astray. That was me too. It says, He threw His loving arms around me. Drew me back into His way.
Lord.
I don't deserve to be leading music, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to do it, to hear these songs, to hear all you singing back at me. I have no idea why God has me standing up here, but I'm thankful for it. This next song we sing here is going to help me go forward. It's what's going to keep me to not ever go astray again. Something I know I can always put my faith in, my trust in, that can always help me each day by day. If you would stand with me, turn to page 805. We're going to sing Because He Lives. chorus here.
Because he
all that my wandering spirit.
today.
Thank you, brother. I'm going to preach to you a little bit about Jesus Christ this morning. Brother, you talking about getting up here and leading singing? I don't know why I'm allowed to preach. Do you love Jesus this morning? Do you want to love Him? You see, I'm not here this morning because of religion. I'm here this morning because of Jesus. I'm not here this morning because I have to be. I'm here this morning because I want to be. I'm here this morning not to go through the motions and sing the songs. No, I sing them because I want to glorify the one who loves me. You know, there's a lot of individuals out there today, especially in our society, the way it's going, that have very few people, if none, that love them. There's very few people out there today that have true love shown in the home that they're growing up in. There's few individuals out there today, there's very few today individuals out there today, especially young kids, that have a dad and a mom that are married in a home that love one another. I would say the percentage today, I would say it's below 10% of kids being raised in one family home with a dad and mom who have never been divorced, raised up in that home through their whole life till they leave out of the house. The percentage is very small. And I knew with the kids that I work with, I could probably count in the 6 years that I work with all those kids, maybe 10, I don't even think it was 10, I don't even think it was close to 10, that had a dad and a mom in the house. So I say all to say that there's very few individuals today who truly know what love is. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ loves us. God loves us this morning. But God's love towards us is not an excuse for sin. God's love towards us. The Bible says, people say, well, God is love. God is love. But God also said in 1 John, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Love is shown by doing what God desires for you in your life. Jesus says, if you love me, if you love me, you keep my commandments. If you're able to stand this morning, we're going to continue our study here in Romans chapter number 1. I ask you if you have some issues and you're not able to stand, I understand. But if you're able to, for the respect of the Word of God, Romans chapter number 1. And we'll start here this morning in verse number 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says this. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd move me out of the way, dear God. Lord, I pray, Father, that I would preach with the right spirit, Lord. I pray the flesh will be abased, dear God. Lord, I pray, Father, this morning, Lord, that there'd be nothing here, Lord, that would quench the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, that you would have liberty, dear God, that these words that we've spoken this morning, Lord, Lord, would glorify you, would praise you, and Lord, that would cause us, dear God, to do as Paul said in 2 Corinthians, to examine ourselves. Lord, help us to walk with you more close today than we were yesterday. Lord, help us to love you more today than we did yesterday, dear God. May all these things be done for you to receive the glory and honor and praise. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here in Romans chapter 1, the last couple of weeks, we've looked at verses 1 and 2. I'm going to pick up back again with verse number 2. Paul says here, which he had promised before by his holy prophets in the scriptures. Well, what did God promise? What did Jesus Christ or the Lord promise in the Holy Scriptures by his prophets in the past concerning the gospel of God? The word or the phrase the gospel of God is mentioned 7 times in the New Testament only. The phrase gospel of God. And it's synonymous with the gospel of his Son and the gospel of Christ, which is this. It's the preaching and proclamation of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this morning the Bible says here in Romans 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto what? Unto the gospel of God. God called Paul, God put Paul forth for what purpose? To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel of God to those that are bound in sin. You see, sin only brings destruction. Sin only brings death into our life. Sin only brings destruction. There is nothing good that sin can offer other than death. And God uses Paul here, and Paul says that I've been separated unto what? Unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You know why we're in a mess today? With Christianity is because individuals in the church house don't know the scriptures. Search the scriptures, the Bible says. Jesus said, search the scriptures. Ye do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Most people don't know their Bible. I've worked with chaplains before who said, I think this year I'll read through the Old Testament. Are you serious? You're going to make that statement and you're a chaplain and you're putting forth the gospel of Jesus and you say you might read through the New Old Testament this year? We need the Bible. You know what? Everything we believe we get from this. The virgin birth of Christ, where do you get it from? The Bible. Because the Bible says he would be born of a virgin. That's why we believe that. Because of what does the scripture say? Paul says here in the book of Romans, he says, which he had promised afore, how? By his prophets in what? The Holy Scriptures. I believe this is God's word. Amen. You know what I find interesting? A lot of Bibles being printed today, they don't say that no more on the front. I remember growing up a kid, every Bible I picked up said Holy Bible on it. For some reason, a lot of Bibles today when they're printed, don't put Holy Bible on the front no more. Why? To downgrade its importance. Brethren, if we don't have the scriptures, we're done. If we don't have thus saith the Lord and what God has said and what God put forth, we're done. We need the Bible. We need the Holy Scriptures because they're what tell us of who Jesus Christ is and how we ought to walk as believers. Romans 1:9 says this, the same chapter, look over verse 9, drop down to verse 9 in Romans chapter 1. Paul says this, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit, in what? In the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. The gospel of his Son. Look down at verse number 15, same chapter. So as much as is in me, Paul's still talking here, Romans 1:15, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach what? The gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What is the power of God? The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it, what? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We find the definition here in the Word of God of what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1. What is the gospel? Well, God saw so fit to give us the definition of it here by the hand of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Do you see this morning, what am I standing upon this morning? I'm standing upon the rock of my salvation. Jesus Christ this morning is my foundation upon which I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know why I have justification this morning with God the Father? It's because I stand upon the merits of what Jesus Christ has done for me this morning. You see this principle of you cannot keep your salvation. If you have any part in your salvation, that diminishes what the blood of Christ has done for you. The blood of Christ has paid full atonement for your sins. There's nothing you can add to it. What can you add to the blood of Jesus Christ? For he hath made him to be sin for us. Talking about Jesus. For he hath made him who God the Father hath made the Son to become sin for us. Who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. I this morning am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Nothing I've done, it's all him. I am in him. Colossians chapter 3 says, Christ in you, who is your life. Christ dwells with me and I dwell within him. He is my righteousness. Nothing else. All my hope rests on Jesus Christ. If I'm to rest on me to keep my salvation, I'm a sunk ship. If any individual is honest, you cannot keep it because you sin every day. Bible talks about in 1 John that if you're born of the Spirit, you cannot sin. There's a part of me today that cannot sin because a spiritual circumcision has taken place within me. I still dwell in this flesh, but my spirit has been cut apart from my flesh on the inside, and my spirit has been born again of God. If all of a sudden I drop dead from a heart attack right now, my spirit is going straight to heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Why? Because my spirit has been born again. This flesh is still seeking redemption, and this flesh is what still gives me trouble. And this flesh dwelleth no good thing, Paul says in Romans chapter 7. This flesh can still sin, but my spirit is perfect in Jesus Christ. You have to make the right and proper divisions. You know what drives a lot of Christians crazy and insane? Because they look at their flesh. They look at what their flesh does, and they think their justification with God rests in what they do in their flesh. Your flesh will always be flesh. Your flesh will always be flesh. That's why the Bible talks in Romans as we go through it that we're to bring the flesh into subjection. You see, once you're saved, now once you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you now have a governor to help you bring this flesh into subjection to where it doesn't just do what it wants to do. But it takes you yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit of God and spending time in the scriptures and spending time in prayer, which is work. It's an effort. It is an effort every day and every morning to fight this flesh because this flesh wants to do what it wants to do. Set your alarm clock, not you, because you get up super early anyways, and you neither, and Brother Jim back there. No, you three, I don't know of anybody else in here. You three, this doesn't apply to you. The rest of you that live a normal life, maybe. I don't know. People up north wake up early, son. I'll just say this. Your flesh, if the alarm, if you're normal, now if you're not normal, this doesn't apply to you. But if you're normal, when the alarm clock goes off at 4 o'clock, most people are like, yeah, I get to go up and go to work now. If you're like me, if you're honest, it's like, smashing the alarm. Really, it's 4 o'clock already? Our flesh, if we're normal, don't like to get up early. It's a struggle. That alarm clock goes off and the flesh says, just let me sleep 5 more minutes. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to go do what I got ready to go do because I'm tired. I'm wore out. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. The flesh gets tired. The flesh gets weary. The flesh, if you don't bring in the subjection, will yield itself to sin. It's often in our weakest moments the devil pounces in there and tries us to sin against our God. The flesh does not want to serve God. Paul says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, wherein ye stand, verse number 2, by which also, how are we saved? By which also ye are saved, by what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according what? According to the Scriptures. We know that the Scriptures, and I'm not going to go through all the prophecies in the Old Testament foretold of the Messiah and how He was to die, but it was foretold in the Scriptures. The gospel of God was promised by the prophets. Take your Bible and look over at Luke chapter 24 and verse number 13. Look what Jesus says here. Luke chapter 24, this is after He is risen from the dead. Look what He says in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 13. Luke 24 and verse number 13. Luke 24 and verse 13. You have two of His disciples walking out of Jerusalem. They're going towards Emmaus. And it says here, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened, about Jesus dying on a cross and being put in a tomb. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and listened, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. If you want Jesus to draw near, start talking about Him and start learning about Him. They're walking this road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're talking about Jesus. And then all of a sudden, the Bible says Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But look at verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto him, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been that which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as those women had said, but Him they saw not. Then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Now I want you to take careful notification. I really want you to pay attention. What did Jesus do? Jesus could have looked at them and said, I'm Jesus. I'm the one. I'm the one that a couple days ago they put on that cross. I'm the one that they spit upon. I'm the one that they beat. I'm the one that they nailed on that cross. I'm the one that came down from the cross and they put in a grave and rose again. And here I am. I'm Jesus. No, look what He does. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. Look what He does. The Bible says that in verse number 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Do you see how important this book is? Jesus took the scriptures, what was written of him, the word of God, and expounded and taught and brought them back to what does the scriptures say about Christ the Messiah? What does the scriptures say? What does the Old Testament, what did the prophets say concerning Messiah, that he should suffer? What did the Bible say? You see the same principle when Jesus does battle with the devil. Three times the devil tries to tempt him, and three times Jesus says, "It is written, it is written, it is written." The Bible is important. We get everything we believe. I said it before, but what does the scripture say? What does the scripture say? We see this principle with Jesus, with these two individuals. He says, "What does the scripture say?" The scriptures say that the Christ, the Messiah, must suffer for sins. Verse number 3 in Romans chapter 2 says, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Look back over there at Romans chapter 2 verse 3 real quick again. Look at the first thing that's mentioned in this verse here that Paul states. Romans chapter 1, verse 3. I'm sorry, I said 2. Romans chapter 1 and verse 3. He says here, he says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning what? Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The question this morning is, Jesus Christ your Lord? Is Jesus Christ your Lord? The word Lord means a master, a person possessing supreme power and authority, a ruler, a governor. Does Jesus Christ this morning have supreme power and authority? When it comes to creation, does not God have supreme power and authority? Absolutely. Jesus Christ this morning has supreme power and authority over all things. Is he your Lord? Is Jesus Christ your Lord this morning? Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, through Jesus, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 8. Flip over there if you got your Bible. Look at Romans 5 and verse number 8. Romans 5 and verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, not only did Christ die for us, much more than being now justified. How are you justified this morning? Being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. How are you saved from wrath through him this morning? Through his blood. Because you have placed your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you. Verse number 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved. How? By his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You receive the atonement, the atoning sacrifices for your sins, by accepting and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What does the word reconcile mean? You see, before you were saved, the Bible states, before you were saved, you were an enemy of God. You see, there's no gray ground before you're saved. It's either black or white. Either you're an enemy of God or you're a child of God. There's no middle ground. The Bible says that you were yet in your sins and you are an enemy of God. But the Bible says that you receive reconciliation through the blood shed on that cross. What does it mean to be reconciled? It means to be to conciliate anew, to be made right with another, to call back into union and fellowship the affections which have been alienated, to restore to friendship or favor after estrangement. You see, when you're lost, you are estranged from God because you are his enemy because of the sin you commit. And not only the sin you commit, but that you are a sinner. It's not a matter of sins that you do. You are sin. You're a sinner. There's no, look, before you come to Christ, there's nothing good in you. Jesus makes that plain and good because Jesus said to that one man that came to him, he says, call no man good. There's only one good individual in this whole universe, and that's God. And if you claim to be good, then you claim to be God. Outside of Jesus Christ, there's nothing good in you. Nothing. That's Bible. Your goodness cannot merit eternal life because you're a sinner. For the wages of sin is death. But there's hope in that Jesus Christ has provided reconciliation with the Father. He has now reconciled us. He has now made us right with God the Father. To now we can cry out, Abba, Father. We now have the spirit of adoption. I can now call him Father, and I am now his son. I now have the one who truly loves me. Now he loves me because of what his son Jesus Christ did. I am now accepted and to be loved. Reconciled to God. Look at verse 18, same chapter, Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offenses of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That's great, 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 great grandpa Adam. He sinned against God. Therefore, the offense and judgment has come upon all men to condemnation, to destruction. But even so, by the righteousness of one man, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, that was Adam, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Glory to God, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Glory to God, this morning, listen, you are made righteous because of Jesus Christ and him dying for your sins. Verse number 20, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. You can't be saved by the law. It's impossible to be saved by the law. The law comes in and offenses abound. It shows you that you're even more of a sinner when you have a law. But where sin abounded, glory to God, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace. How does grace? Grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. He is my righteousness. He has paid the debt that I could not pay this morning. What percentage, this is to believers this morning, what percentage of your life does the Lord control? What percentage, if you were to take a survey, I don't need to know, it's none of my business, but if you were to take a survey this morning and someone were to ask, give a percentage of what you believe your life that the Lord has control over, what would the answer be? The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Romans 6, 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. I speak as the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye yield your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now if you're not there in your Bible, I want you to look at that verse that I just read. Romans 6 verse 19. Look what the last part there says. Romans 6:19. If now this is to saved individuals this morning. If you're lost, this does not apply to you. You need to get saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you're saved this morning, if you are a believer, if you've been converted and born again, Paul says here in Romans chapter 6, verse number 19, the latter part there at the very end, it says, even so now, yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto what? Unto holiness. We are to yield our members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. What is holiness? In a lot of churches today, it's a bad word. What is holiness? What does the Bible say that holiness is? Because whatever holiness is, Paul says in Romans chapter 6 that we're to yield ourselves servants unto righteousness, unto holiness. You see, back in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4, holiness is important. Look back at Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Holiness is important in a believer's life. Holiness is important. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4. And this is talking about Jesus. And declared to be the Son of God with power. You see, Jesus is not a wimp this morning. Jesus is not effeminate this morning. Jesus is not a pushover this morning. Jesus declared himself to be the Son of God with power according to what? According to the Spirit of holiness and by the resurrection from the dead. You see, Jesus Christ could not have got up out of that grave unless he was completely holy. Listen, sin had no dominion over him because he was holy. And how was he able to get up out of that grave? Because that grave couldn't hold on to him because there was no sin in him. He lived a sinless, perfect, and holiness, a holy life. And by that holiness, it gave power for him to rise again from the dead. You see, this morning, if you want power in your Christian walk, you need to put this flesh to death and allow the Spirit of holiness to work through you. Put the flesh on the cross and allow the Spirit of holiness to work through your life. You see, it's by you yielding yourself unto the Spirit of God that you can live a holy and acceptable and unblemishable life before Jesus Christ. You see, brethren, we're going to look at the scriptures here. You can go home. You can go home this morning in dishonor. You can still be saved, but you can go home in undesirable circumstances. A lot of Christians just think we sing these songs when we all get to heaven and how glorious it's going to be and wonderful, I get to go to heaven. But how's your life been till you get there? You might go home and not realize that you're going home on shameful conditions because of the way you conducted your life while you were down here. The Spirit of holiness. How was this power exhibited? How was this power exhibited by the Spirit of holiness? Does your life exhibit holiness, both in mind, body, and spirit? The Lord this morning is concerned with how we act, our attitudes, our speech, our conduct of ourselves with others in the world, how we dress, how we act, what we listen to, what we watch. Jesus Christ, our God, our Lord, is concerned with these things, and he desires for us to live through the Spirit of holiness. Look back over at Romans chapter 6 again. I'm going to pick right back up there where we left off in verse 19. Look what it says after verse number 19 concerning holiness. Romans chapter 6, we'll pick up in verse number 20. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye now are ashamed? Brethren, what fruit did you have in that sinful life that you lived before you were saved? What fruit did it produce for you that you're not now ashamed of? I'm ashamed of my sinful past. I'm ashamed of what I've done before I was saved. I don't want others to know about it because I'm ashamed of what I did. I don't want to boast in the sin that I lived in before I came to my Savior. It's shameful. And the Bible says, I'm ashamed of those things that I did in the past. But look at verse 22. But now being made free. You see, you're made free through the blood of Jesus. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Take your Bible, flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and look at verse number 1. We are to perfect holiness in our life. Paul tells the church at Corinth that they're to perfect holiness in their life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Look what it says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You ought to have a fear of God this morning that someday you're going to have to stand before Him and give an account of how you've lived your Christian life. Is your Christian life in a state to where you're allowing God to purge you of the flesh and spirit, which is unclean, and perfecting holiness in the fear of His name? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Ephesians 4, verse 24. It needs to be a true holiness, not a fake holiness, not a hypocritical holiness, but a true holiness. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24 says this. And that ye put on the new man. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13 says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. For what purpose? To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Unblameable in holiness before God. The last verse I'd like you to look at this morning before we pray and close. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 13. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in a transgression, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Holiness is important with God. First Peter says, be ye holy, for I am holy. God requires holiness in our life. It's through holiness that you have power with God. You see, it goes back to what I was talking about during the Sunday school hour, that God only accepts a holy sacrifice. God only accepts a holy sacrifice. If that sacrifice is tainted in any way, has a blemish, is dirty, is crooked, is messed up, God will not accept that sacrifice. We as Christians are to offer up sacrifices of praise and glory and honor to our Savior. But those sacrifices can be tainted with envy, strife, anger, malice, fornication, adultery, witchcraft, variance. Our sacrifices can be tainted. May we ask God to help us this morning to live through the spirit of holiness toward the sacrifices that we offer up daily to our God, to our Savior Jesus Christ, they may be acceptable in His sight. Let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity. Lord, I thank You for how good You are to us, dear Lord. God, help us in our walk with You, Lord. Help us to daily put on the new man. Lord, help us to put on a new man and to walk in the righteousness that we've obtained through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to yield our members, servants, unto you and not unto sin. God, may our lives be holy in your sight. Help us to perfect holiness. God, I pray you to reveal these things to us. Lord, open our eyes, open our ears. Help us to hear what the Scripture saith. Help us to hear what your Holy Bible says. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord, that we would glorify you in all that's said and done. Thank you for these precious brethren. Thank you for this opportunity this morning. We love you. And Lord, I pray you just be glorified. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like, if you would, to please stand if you're able. I'd like to close with this hymn here this morning. Page number 129. Page number 129. Jason, if we could do the last two verses without the piano. So page number 129, if you're able to stand at the cross. Before he plays, I want you to, those that be someone here that's lost this morning that has never experienced true salvation through Jesus Christ. I say that at all the funerals I preach, I say this at every funeral I preach, I try to. I just want you to think, have you ever been born again? I'm not asking you this morning if you prayed a prayer. I don't care if you prayed a prayer. I want to know, I'm asking, have you been born again? Does the Spirit of God dwell within you to where it bears witness with your spirit? You cry out, Abba, Father. Have you been converted? Have you been translated from darkness to light? Have you been made a new creature by Jesus Christ? I just want you to think about that this morning. Jesus Christ loved you. He shed his blood for you. And he has paid for all your sins. All you have to do is cry out to him and ask him to save you. Amen. Let's take this song now. Let's sing with all our hearts to God and our Savior. Page 129 at the cross. Noble, can you close us in prayer, Brian?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this glorious day we have here, that we can come to your house, Lord, and hear your word preached and taught to us, O Lord God. I pray we'd empty ourselves out, Lord, and your spirit would take over our bodies, Lord. And when we hear the word that is preached and taught to us, and we use it each and every day, Lord, to glorify your Son and tell others about you.
Yes.
Lord, bless us as we go our way, Lord, and bring us back once again, Lord, safely.
Yes.
And I pray you minister to those that are in need right now this day, whether it be physical or spiritual, Lord.
Yes.
Help us, Lord, that we be the children of God that you call us to be.
Yes.
Let us be the children of the book.
Yes.
That you have given to us, O Lord God.
Amen.
Your instructions, Lord, are there for us each and every day. Help us as we go our way, Lord, let them know, let the world know that we have something that they need. The love of Jesus Christ in us.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray for his honor and glory, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you, brethren. You're dismissed. We'll see you tonight.